You could look at the title of the sermon today, Christ's Mission, Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. Christ's Mission, it's Mission Month in our church. Next week we will be having a special Sunday where we have two of our missionaries who have been supported. We partnered with them in their ministry. Kenny Chow, who grew up in the OCM Church in Chinatown, and is now a missionary with ISI, International Students Incorporated, and also with, I can't say her name because it's publicized that her work is in a very delicate country. But we have a sister who will be coming next week who will be speaking to us during the workshop. She also is a part of the church in Chinatown. So we're very blessed to have both of them come. You want to make sure that you come next week. This whole month is actually Mission Month. And so I thought it would be good for us to today begin with a message on Christ's mission and also to look at it in terms of what I believe the Bible really does teach, which is that it's done as a team. Right? Teamwork makes the dream work is something that someone said. Someone from our church mentioned that they say that all the time, and I'm really glad to hear that. It's not a Bible verse, you don't have to look there. But it's kind of inherent in all the scriptures, actually. Right? Teamwork makes the dream work is a great way for us to have a cheerful spirit when we think about it, right? Being in a team is actually something very positive and cheerful. It's supposed to be, anyway. Sometimes, you know, being on a team is challenging because you're working together with other people, and all of us have our own ideas and we have our own thoughts about what is right and best and things like that. But a team overcomes all those things and helps one another to achieve a goal. Amen? So the church here at Grace Church is a team, and we work together, all of us as individuals, we come together. Now, the impetus for me saying this and bringing this out this week is I really do have a reason I feel that God was saying to us as a church is that, you know, sometimes we have a sign-up list, and we say, please sign up on the list and do this, you know, this work that we're going to be doing, or help out in this kind of a way, and we have different things that we do. We even have a sign-up list for bringing food to a potluck. We have all different kinds of ways for people to sign their name up. But I really believe that God was gently and lovingly reminding us that it isn't just a matter of signing your name up on a list. And it doesn't mean that you have to sign your name up on every list. Right? I think it's more about that, that each of us has something that we are called to do, and we have specific gifts that God gives to us. And so it doesn't mean if, you know, we have a street fair booth that you have to sign up to do that kind of a work if you don't feel that that's what you're called to. Okay? I just want to get that out. You know, I just want to say that because there are, however, other ways for you to participate. But I don't want it to become the kind of thing where we just see our church as a list that we have to sign up for. But we want to be thinking about what God wants to use us for individually as a team. Right? We all have different gifts, and that really is the thrust of Paul's teaching all through the New Testament, actually Jesus' teaching all through the New Testament. We definitely have a team, a togetherness that we were talking about just now for the church and for the children to learn about. Right? But it is very, very important that we understand that as individuals, we have to see God's calling and will for our lives, and then see where He calls us to go. Now, you know, there are leaders in the church who prayerfully and thoughtfully have brought these things to our attention that we're going to be participating in. So that, you know, we want to have people involved in these kind of ministries. But today let's take a look at God's Word, okay, and just see where He takes us. But that was the initial impetus for this, that we're a team, but we're also a team that has a calling in different ways, and in different ways for our gifts to be used. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's a person who's an evangelist and go out and start talking to people and sharing their faith with a lot of, you know, excitement and gusto. I mean, there are different ways of reaching people with the gospel. But, you know, there are things that we bring to your attention so that we can be involved as a church and offer the opportunity for our church to go out and let the people know who we believe. So that was kind of, you know, an awkward way of introducing things today, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I hope you do anyway. That we do have gifts, but we certainly don't want to begin to look and see who signed up on the list. That's, I think that's for me too. I want to be thinking about how people are doing in their lives, growing in their lives, and then seeing through that kind of relationship and being together and loving one another to see how God himself will guide a person to put their name on there that they need to, really wants them to do that. And it comes from that kind of an idea. So I hope that that's helpful. Teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork. So we're looking at each other. So let's go into this a little bit together today. First of all, I want to tell you a little story. Talking about family of God and being a team and being, you know, in a church family, which is another way we think of ourselves, not just a team. You can see that in a moment in the scripture. But Lee-chan and I recently attended a banquet for a friend of ours whose son, about the age of Julia, got married, and they had a banquet, and we attended there, and there were many people there that we haven't seen in years, you know. One of the guys had the nerve to tell me that I have gray hair. And he had all this gray hair. You know? So, and this was a friend of mine. So anyway, I didn't tell him he had gray hair. But anyway, so, you know, you get together with people after many years and you start, and you're thinking about, oh wow, we're getting together again. And, that person is someone I remember in Chinatown going to be. We attended a church in Chinatown. Lee-chan and I were married, right? And I knew him. I knew his kids when they were really little, you know, and they were running around and he was yelling at them and everything. And, you know, it was just a great memory of him and his wife. And he told us a story. This, I hope this has something to do with one of his wives. But I just feel like telling you about it because it just reminds you of the family that you have in Christ and things that go on. Well, anyway, he speaks Cantonese, but I knew him at the church there, and he went back to Hong Kong, and he told me that his daughter is now living in Hong Kong. Okay, and that led to me asking him where he was born. How he, you know, was he born in Hong Kong and all these different things. And this is a guy that I've known a long time, okay? But I never asked him anything like this before because at that time we were just thinking about other things. You know, we're doing things, our lives had a different kind of a focus. But now we're sitting down at a table, at a banquet table, and he's starting to talk to us. And little by little he opens up and he says, you know, my wife and I went to visit our daughter in Hong Kong right before COVID hit. And guess what happened? They got stuck. Exactly what he said to me. He got stuck. They were there for 2.5 years. Are you crazy, right? You think about these things and you're thinking, oh, what's going on with the world? But it just gives you a little bit of idea, you know, in that kind of a way. But there was a lot of blessing that came from it because they were stuck with their grandchildren. Right? And they were able to help. So we became, they had a helper. He told me that in Hong Kong, everybody has a helper. Our family has a helper, and that's a normal thing, and so I never knew that. And then he told me that they became the helper's helper for 2.5 years, unplanned. And another guy who was sitting at our table, who was friends, and was a neighbor of theirs, and is a neighbor of theirs living in New Jersey now, went to their house while they were in Hong Kong and looked after their stuff because they couldn't go back and watch their house. You know, so you get the idea, it's like this kind of a relationship that grows and kind of happens and evolves in those kind of a ways. And, you know, this is very interesting hearing that story from him. But in the course of the meal and the things that were going on, we hadn't seen each other in years. We knew each other. We had been church members for years. We had this relationship. It was interrupted by all of these years and all these things that go on in our lives. And then you come back together because one of the people from your church was, you you know, their kid got married, and there you are again with these people who you haven't really literally seen in a long time. And yet there exists there, even though some of the things are a bit awkward, there exists there the power of God in family of Christ. And you learn these things and you do those things. And what that says to me is that we need to remember in our church just how special we are to one another and how grateful we need to be when we spend time with fellow Christians, when we are in the family of God. That builds a team. It isn't our doing. It is God bringing us together here and doing special things like saying, remember me together in this cup. That forms a team. And again, it's not signing up for a list, although that is a form. But that's not really what God is going for. He's going for this family coming together as his children. We are his. He is our God. We worship him. We give our lives to him. We grow in him. And we share him. That to me is a church. That is what God's really doing here. I'll give you another example. There was a film that I was watching. This is a negative sign, okay? You don't want to be. I saw a film that was made in Ireland about this kid who grew up in a very, very poor area. He was the son of a miner, and his brother worked in the mine. And he was, I would say he's probably middle school age, beginning high school age or something like that. Really tough life. His brother abused him. His father was disappeared. His mother was a promiscuous woman who liked to party. And that's the kind of situation he grew up in. That was his family. Okay. But the story evolves into, and I'll just mention this because, you know, you want to know where it's going, but he develops an appreciation for hawks, you know, these big birds that drop down and grab prey and go back up, you know. And he saw one, and he went to the library. Actually, the librarian told him he couldn't have a card because he had to have his parents sign for it. His parents were not around, so he couldn't get that. So he went and stole a book in a bookstore, and he started to read about hawks. And it taught him how to raise a hawk. And so he went and he found where a hawk nest was, and he took a hawk bird, like this little baby bird, and he began to train it. And that was his release. He had this kind of a relationship with someone who was going to, you know, be on his side and develop a relationship that he could love that bird. The thing I wanted to mention was this. He attended a school that was, I don't know whether it was, you know, it was some kind of parochial school where, you know, they mentioned God. And so he went to this school, and in an auditorium they met every morning, and they would begin by this, you know, the saying some kind of a prayer, and they would sing a song, a hymn. And then actually one of the young people at the school read some verses from the Bible. And then the principal got up, and he began to yell at all the children. And if they made one move or even cough, he would say, I want to meet you, and you're going to come to my office. And so one kid coughed. And it was, and they said, who did that? And nobody wanted to say. And so one of the other teachers said, I think it was this guy. And it wasn't that guy. It was someone else. So they take the guy who didn't do it, and they bring him in the principal's office, and he gets smacked on the hand with a whip. Right? So that's what happened to him. But during the auditorium, after he berated all the children, was trying to strike fear into all these children, they said, let's say the Lord's Prayer now together. Right? So this, the filmmaker had this kind of a view of the church. And they had that kind of a view of God. Right? And so we're living, and sometimes the church can become that, right? So what the message is that we are actually coming together to love one another in Christ. And it can very, very, very easily become a condemning kind of a place. So we need to keep that in mind when we're looking at each other and we're doing these things, right? And Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, is telling them all these wonderful things that I'm going to tell you in a second. But after that, he starts to talk about all the things that people could be doing that are wrong and that are going completely against the message of Jesus. But that kind of a film is very important because it exposes us for whom we are, sinners living in this world. And it also teaches us to be loving towards children because they become like us. Right? So there's all these different things that I think, you know, when you come together in a school like that, those kids were bonding together because they were in this really horrible situation. This young man was like that, and he had an escape at this bird. You know, people need an escape. But let's just keep both in mind, okay? As the Church of Christ, we come together and we appreciate each other as family, and we also go about our lives in a very careful and gentle way, taking care of one another, non-condemning, saying the Lord's Prayer, and then living it out. Singing songs and hymns together and living it out. Hearing the Word of God speak to us about all these things and then living it out. Otherwise, people will become very disappointed. They'll be turned off. And we all have people in our lives who have no longer gone to church because of something that happened there, right? And so we want to carefully and lovingly go about our lives as the Church of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So let's go into what Ephesians says. I want to read to you, just listen, some of the things that Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Right? This is in the book of Ephesians. He's pouring out these blessings in Christ to the people there. This is not in the reading yet. I'll get to that in a second. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, filled with blessing, coming to the people there in the church and blessing them. It's important to bless each other, right? In the name of Christ, and to be reminded that God has blessed us. Not you or me individually, but us together in Christ. And that's what he's writing to the church here. It says here, he set forth a plan in Christ for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, to unite all things. Beautiful thought, to be united together. That's what we want to think of the church as being, you know, coming together, united together in one heart, one mind. And he writes a little bit later, it's all to the praise of his glory. And then he gives thanksgiving and prayer. He says, may God, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. In the saints, all of us together, we believe in Jesus, we are one body of saints, right? And what is he doing? He's calling us to have eyes enlightened so that we know what is the hope that he has called you to. We are called. We're not just coming together. We are called here for his purposes, right? And to understand what the riches of his glorious inheritance are for us when we believe in him. He put all things under his feet and gave him as the head over all things to the church. That was what was mentioned already, that Jesus is our head. He gave all things as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You hear the power of those words of what the church is, who we are together, right? All things under his feet and gave him as head over the things to the church, which is his body. We need to remember Christ in all of our lives, every aspect of our lives. And Paul just brings that back over and over again. He is the one that we need in our lives. Right? Let me read you a few more verses before we get to our text. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then one verse after that says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. His workmanship. We are here together. We have something in us. We have been given something. It's not a maybe. It is a definite yes, you have it. You have been blessed with it. You have been given this by God. We are his workmanship. You have those things. Right? We'll get to that a little bit more also to see what that means. But that really says a lot there already. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, he teaches. Right? You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Right? You're being built together in him into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You're being built together, right? Built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That is what we're doing. We are being brought together, formed together, not individuals, doing things our own way. Yes, we are individuals, we have gifts, we have all these different things that we're given, but we need each other. We need each other, and there isn't any other way to do it. You can try to do it, but you can't. You have to. I mean, I know that there are people that are disappointed. I have people in my life, you know, that I actually am afraid to talk to about this because I know it's a delicate subject, and we have to also be very sensitive to people who have been hurt, have been turned off by something in the church. But however we do it, God in Christ can give us the words and the right kind of a spirit to speak with people so that they do begin to have hope again. So that they can see that their lives in that kind of a way, in an individualistic kind of a way, going their own way and not communing with other people, or just saying, I know God and he knows me and that's enough, I'll just have that. Right? Emily Dickinson, a famous poet, was someone who had that kind of a belief. I'm okay, I go into my garden and I meet with God, but she is not reading Ephesians. She's not reading Ephesians. You can go into your garden. Sure, you can do that. You can commune with God in your garden. You can commune with God among nature. You can do all those different things. But God is saying that we are called together in his church, of which Christ is the head. Amen. And so that is the message that God is pleading to share with the world here, that he has designed it. And it goes hand in hand with the fact that there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit together. One God. Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that is our example. That is what we follow. He says, for this reason, right, and he gets on his knees before God, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named. From whom every family in heaven and earth is named. That is exciting to me. That is exciting to me. There are things that we have here that are just so incredibly moving, so incredibly beautiful, that you are not just passing by each other, you know. We're not just passers-by. We are people that remain in a household with God. We are family that God has formed here. Now, I know that the family is a very delicate thing. Coming from one that was troubled, man, I can tell you, my family was troubled. God is greater than all that. He's greater, he's powerful. And so if you're experiencing things in your life that are challenging to you about your family, your relationships, and things like that, do not give up. Deny those lies. Turn to Jesus. He will give you things to help you in your life and keep you together. family is the design when you're a part of God's family here in the church. That is what we are, and we work together, we love one another, we cry together, we overcome things, we forgive one another, we practice all of the things that are in the Bible. The opportunity for us to do that. It's an opportunity to come together and to practice the things that God teaches us, not just merely read about them, but to practice them, overcome those things. There were people in that banquet that night, I can tell you, that I had conflict with, and there we all were together in that room for a joyous occasion of a marriage of two people that came together, right? And at work in that room there was God's plan and his design. And it gets you to think. You start to think, okay, so who are these people to me? What is going on? And then you come back to Grace Church and you think, okay, so who are we? And what do we have? And what can we learn? And how can we do things more in step with the Lord Jesus? Well, we just follow the directions. Let him lead us. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That guy that I was telling you about that went to Hong Kong with his wife and was stuck, he's standing there at the end of the night and he's going, let's take a selfie together. And I'm like, this is so cool. I haven't seen this guy in so long, and here we are together. I still remember his kids, and now he's telling me about what they're doing and his wife and what she's, you know, all these different things. And we're taking this selfie, and I'm just thinking, a selfie is just one of the most joyful kind of the things that we can do. We're taking a picture of ourselves together. No. The best thing is, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to see each other always. We come together. The family of God, we come together as the people of God to live with Jesus forever. The joyful thing God has given to us. For all the saints, we're rooted and grounded in love. That's what we go for here. And I have to share with you that there's going to be people who come up to you and will challenge love. And they'll say, love is good. Yeah, I know that. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it is that that kind of a thought is one I'm not going to listen to. Yeah, I know love is important, but there's other, no. Love is the most important thing. We can grapple and we can fight and we can push and we can do all these different things to try to go against that thought, but here it is right here, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And when he is filling you, then you're in the right place. Right? That's what the body of Christ is. It's all of us living with that kind of mind. Right? One last thing before we get to this text today, and I promise it won't be much longer. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is what he prayed. He wants to do. And Paul is talking to them about what it means to be in the church. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are peacemakers. Jesus taught this in the Sermon on the Mount. We are to make peace with people. You cannot go on in that kind of a broken relationship and be the church. It can't happen. Then you start to be like that kid looking up at the principal, screaming at them and yelling at them and telling them they're pieces of dirt and they have no life and they're worthless, and then saying, now let's say a prayer together. All those kids are much smarter than that, right? All of them, that little kid was much smarter and he knew much more about life than the principal did. He knew what was real. And he found it in a bird. It's kind of sad in a way, isn't it? The beautiful bird taught him so much, and it was a great thing. But isn't it awful that he has to escape and find love because no human being was given into him? And we have people like that all through society. We have people who just look at the, read the newspaper, turn on the news, and see how horrible people are treating one another. And you know why? Because the people have been hurt. Because they don't feel love from other people. They feel like they're getting a bad deal in life. They feel like their lives are just some kind of a curse. And they just feel like, well, I'm going to strike out. My son shared with me this iPod about it. A story about a cop and one of these guys that he was chasing after, and the guy eventually, the guy who was running away, turned around and shot the cop and almost killed him. But in the end, there was this story of reconciliation that was just incredibly powerful. But both of those people felt like the other one was the enemy. They just felt so trapped. The cop and all of the pressure that he was feeling every day being a cop and having to go into very dangerous situations. So that he did not even see people as human beings anymore. And then from the other side, this kid who saw the cops as just another gang that was going to threaten and kill him, and he had to kill the cop before he killed him. And how they had to work through all these different things and how to come to this place where they realized that they were both human beings and they both were suffering under some kind of a power that was trying to drive them to kill. And it was killing both of them. And the answer was love. And the answer was reconciliation and forgiveness. And that brought that to an end. Very powerful stuff. But that's what our world is filled with, people. Right? Maybe you constituted it yourself. Right? But here we are with God coming in and saying, I have the answer. Because I love you. And I'm going to prove it by giving my son on the cross for you. That you know it's real, and it's not just talk, but I'm going to give my life for you. And so what does he do here? He talks about this last part, these few verses that were read today. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to equip these people. We're all equipping, means to make ready, to help them to learn, to make them prepared, right, for the work of ministry. Ministries that we do, and the ministry is so important in the world. You can minister to a person by going to their bed in a hospital and loving them, and visiting them, and showing up and doing that. You could minister to someone by calling them on the phone and saying, I've been thinking about you, how are you? You can minister to someone by seeing that they're not doing so well that day and having the courage to go up and say, like, you know, I noticed you're not doing so well today, are you all right? You can minister to people in many different ways. You can, obviously, go to a person and, when the opportunity comes, in the right kind of a way, offer your faith in Jesus to them. You can minister to children who are downstairs now being ministered to by loving sisters who are going to invite the children to know Christ Jesus as their Savior. You can go to your class after this and be ministered to by people who believe that it's important that the youth have someone to go through the scriptures and to be loved. You can, it goes on and on. These are all kind of ministries, but we're being equipped. And how are they doing it? Well, they're really these using people like apostles who are messengers of God, really. And then there's prophets who are warning people about the times that we're living in to be able to know what God's message for us is. Evangelists who talk about the good news of the gospel, and the saints and the shepherds and the teachers who are people who are guiding people in the ways of the Bible to help them to know the way. Right? There's all these people that are at work. And you know what? All the people that I'm talking about now are present here in this room. When I think about our church, and I think, you know, one of the things that people always ask you, and it's probably the one question that I don't like the most, is like, how big is your church now? And so what I'm thinking in my mind is like, can't you be a little bit more imaginative? You know, I mean, and they don't mean anything bad by it. But what I want to say is, if you give me half an hour, I will start to talk to you about the awesome people in our church and what people are doing and how they are going about their lives and how I'm seeing God at work in their lives. If you give me a half an hour of your time, I'll talk to you about people who are teaching class, who are studying God's Word, who are coming together to pray, who are grappling with problems in their lives, but they're coming to church with those things in their lives to seek God and to do those kind of things. I encourage you. You're not pastor of the church, but you are a person who is here as a minister. Begin to think of yourself that way and begin to think of the person, one person that you can minister to, and God will change your life forever that way. Not just to, you know, of course you're going to make an impact on the other person, but you yourself are going to be impacted in a great way. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Building up the body of Christ. Now, raise your hand if you would like to tell me, what does it mean to build up the body of Christ? Encourage.
Love.
Marissa? Teach. Okay, there's the three ways to build up. When I think of a building up, I think all of those things are incorporated in that, right? And that's the way we look at each other. You don't want to feel under pressure when you come to church, okay? So the pressure is off. I go to Planet Fitness to do some walking, you know, whenever I can, and they say it's not a place you're going to be judged, right? You're not going to be judged here. And I did feel, when I first went there, I was thinking, I don't want to go there. I'm going to be looked at by all these people, and nobody looks at me at all when I go there. They're all too busy looking at their, you know, how many miles they've walked and how fast they're walking and things like that, you know. But there's like, I think that whoever thought of that had a very good understanding of human beings, because they said, you won't be judged here. And that's exactly what we should have in the back or in the front of our church, is to say, you won't be judged here. Because we're all in this together. We're here together to seek God, and with all of our failings and all these different things, we are here to build you up. I have, as pastor, and even before I was a pastor, you know, in a church, you know, all my life, I have, I guess I would, you'd have to say that I wasn't very good at understanding how to deal with someone who is mean. I don't know. I have to admit that I don't have a very easy time understanding how to deal with someone who's being mean. Right? And I'm perfectly fine saying that, because sometimes people feel like you ought to know what to do. How come you didn't do something about that? Didn't you see what they did? And I'm thinking, well, why don't they change? Why don't you talk to them and say, how can you be so mean? How could you be so unchristian-like in your walk? And say those kind of things. You know, we're very quick to push on other people the responsibility for if someone else is messing up and doing something mean. It's all a kind of a, you know, just spread it around, you know, just get everybody involved here in this kind of an issue, when the person who's doing it seems to be kind of like ignored. You know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You can talk to me later if you want to hear. But what I'm saying is that why is it that we're always trying to tell somebody else that they should have to fix things instead of the person who's doing the thing that's broken? I just want to share that with you, because that's one of the big things that's been always a quandary, a big problem for me, and feeling like, oh, it's my job to fix that person. Well, it's not my job to fix that person. It's their problem, and God is going to have to talk with that person. And if we really want to talk about it, then we will talk to that person as a church and say, you know, we're not going to really, you know, function as a church with this going on. Building up. So let's go back, right? Building up. That's what we want to focus on here. We want to build up. So if something is not building up, then let's build it up. That's what
what it means to be a Christian, doesn't it? It means to be a Christ-like, to rise up above these things, come in with forgiveness, come up with those kind of things to do that, and everybody looking at their own heart and saying, I'm not going to keep acting like that because that is not building up the church. And I'm going to have a talk with God. I'm going to go for a walk. And I'm going to have a talk with my Savior, my Lord, who I profess to believe in. And I'm going to change the way I'm acting, and I'm going to be someone who builds up. Right? So that's what he's going for here. The knowledge of this, we've been building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So that's where it's headed here, right? It's to come together until we all attain to the unity of the faith, that we all have the belief in Jesus and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and the knowledge of him, who he is and what he means and what that means in my life, how I'm going to reflect that in my life, all those things, right? And that's a beautiful thing for him to write this church about, right? To mature manhood and womanhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that is our aim. So what I want to say to you, okay, I think you got the point from what I'm saying. We don't want a church where we're simply going to say, sign your name up there, and even if you don't feel called, and even if you don't feel like you're supposed to be doing this, you've got to sign your name up, okay, or else, you know, whatever. But we want to be a church where we are going to be tightly unified in spirit of love in Christ, and seeking his will, and wanting to build one another up in the faith, in the direction, so that God is fully in us as his body, and we're sure that we are doing things according to his will, that we're following his lead, that we're not with one part of our mouth saying the Lord's Prayer and acting in a different way. That we are aiming for that. So there's this book that I have, okay, and I really feel this came out of actually someone coming to our church during the Easter children's program. And they said, okay, so how do you, like, confirm kids? And what they meant was, in their church and what their experience was, is that a child would grow up and that at some point they would be confirmed in their belief as a Christian. And then they would then be, they would have a ceremony, and a lot of people do this in their churches, they have a ceremony, and the child is confirmed as someone who finished the course during their time in church, and then they graduate, right? It's kind of like, okay, now they have become a Christian. And that's a very, you know, short way of saying it. But it's a very good, it was a very good question. And I started to think about, okay, so if they come to our church and people are looking for some kind of a structure and some kind of a thing for our church to have, what is it that we're going to say to that person? So what I told this person through one of our sisters here was that we don't have a confirmation process. Okay, we don't confirm people that way. What we do is we teach. We help children to know about the gospel, about God's word. We bring them up in the word, and we have different classes for that, and we do things just like the confirmation class, but we, instead of confirming a person and saying, now you're finished with this course and you're a Christian, we say, now do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and will you be baptized? Right? So they come to this point, right, of they are equipped. Yes, we are helping them. But the question of whether they believe or not is left to that person. Follow me? So that's really what we believe here. However, I believe that we are very, very much helped by that question to define and to be sure of what it is that we are teaching and the things that we want to make sure each person that comes to our church knows. And so, you know, there's a book by the Navigators that I have here, and I was doing a discipleship course with the Navigators, with people in our church, and there's different forms. But this book called Growing in Christ is a very, very good means for us to gauge where each one of us is in our faith, and also to help other people, and each one of us as a church, to be aware of the scripture that God gives to us that is essential for growing in Christ. And so I have this book, and I have copies of it. And I want to, I would really love for everyone in our church to have it. But it's not the book. It's not the book, okay? And again, it's not about signing your name on it. It is a willingness to engage in the Word of God and to see what we believe. And to look at that, and then they ask you to memorize verses. Right? So it's like an individual kind of a course that you take so that Grace Church, all of us, have that knowledge of the Bible that we feel is essential for a person to be equipped for the Christian life. And so I want to suggest that you take a copy of it. Okay? I have some in my office, and you can take one. But it's not the kind of thing where you just finish this course and there you go. It's one that you have to spend time with. It's one where you have to spend time looking at the page and then saying, I know this already. Yeah, it's fine that you know it already, but you are committing to looking at these verses that God is speaking to you with so that we have this unity together, that looking at God's word, and we can talk to people who come to our church, and we can say, what kind of confirmation process do we follow? Well, we actually engage with the Word of God, and here it is. And our hope is that every person who reads the Word of God will be affected by it and will receive Christ as Savior and follow Him for the rest of their lives. And therein is the church. Church is made up of believers, people who have made that decision to follow Christ and give their lives to Him, who have obeyed the man to be baptized, and to live their lives forever. These are the things that people are asking us when they come to our church. So it's good for us to be prepared for that. So I just want to ask you to please look at that and to take a look at the book and to see the concepts and the things that they're teaching here from the Bible that will help you to be able to really see how He's going to guide us in our teaching of other people and leading other people to Christ. So now we're going to have communion. Before we do, we're going to sing a song. Okay, it'll hopefully set our eyes upon Jesus.